Proverbs chapter 21, please. Proverbs chapter 21. While you turn there, I just want to make a mention here. The situation in Venezuela to be prayerfully considering. This is an email that I just got from Bethel Baptist Church. That's the church that Brother Cloud is a member of, and his ministry is out of that church. And they write, "Dear pastors and friends, we have been in contact with Pastor Victor Payaz in Caracas, Venezuela, over the last couple of weeks. The situation there is absolutely desperate. For those of you who may not know him, he is an independent Baptist pastor in Caracas for 25 years. We visited there about 15 years ago and witnessed an amazing work. He pastors a very strong church of about 600 people with a Bible college of 45 students. They have sent out a lot of men that have started churches in Venezuela and have done a great work for the cause of Christ over the years. On Sunday, January 21st, Pastor Payaz said that he had wall-to-wall people, baptized 26 people, and had six professions of faith. Sunday night, the church was just as full. He went on to say that in spite of the very difficult circumstances in the country, God is doing a wonderful work. Now they find themselves in an absolutely desperate situation. Most of the Bible College students are housed on the church property. For the last week, they have only had three bags of flour and nothing else to provide food. Then at the wholesaler, 2 hours away, they found beans, pasta, and several other staples to add to their diet. So for a couple of weeks, they will have food. Many of their church families have insufficient food. Medications are almost non-existent." And this is all going back to a corrupt nation and huge, massive inflation that they've been going through. And so they simply cannot afford to buy anything. And so then stores are not bringing in food because there's no one that can afford to buy it. And it's just, it's a downhill spiral. Okay, so people are dying from lack of simple medications. Babies are dying for want of baby formula. Pastor Payaz says, "It's heartbreaking to see families that have very little food to eat all week come to church. Many eat one small meal a day. One church family has had to sell some of their clothes to try and buy food. Inflation is said to be at 2,300%. That is unheard of. It costs a man wages for 2 months to buy a baby's formula for 1 month. And then it's almost impossible to find. Thousands of babies have died in the last year. It takes 3 months of wages to buy one pair of shoes. It is reported that 9 out of 10 families in Venezuela have insufficient food to feed themselves." Of course, he's mentioning baby formula. And you might be thinking, well, what about, you know, mothers that nurse their children? Well, I also have to remember that in cases like that, when a mother's not getting proper nutritious food, you know, that she's not able to pass that on to the baby. There are video clips of mobs of men plundering shops, stopping delivery trucks on the road and stealing contents and killing cattle in the fields. Many stay alive by digging through garbage. The situation is desperate and violent. And they include a link here to an article from the New York Times. And then they write on, "What can we do to help? We have been working to plan to try and send new or used summer clothes and shoes to Venezuela. We will pay the shipping of the clothes from our church in London, Ontario to Miami, Florida. There is a shipper there that will guarantee delivery to Pastor Payaz's church in Caracas. So we need to gather clothes and shoes from our churches in Canada. Will you help? We would like to collect the above items between February 15th and March 15th. At that time, all collected clothes and shoes will be shipped to Miami for shipment to Venezuela. The same shipper will also guarantee food shipment from Miami to Caracas. If we could see every church do something financially toward this endeavor, we would be able to alleviate hunger for a few hundred people for a few months. Remember the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:30-37. I think we need to show that same kind of love to our hurting brothers and sisters and their poor, hungry children in Venezuela. Pastor Payaz spoke about some of the children of the church families who come crying to their parents, saying they are hungry, but the parents do not have any food. What a heartbreak. What will you do, or what will we do? Can you help us with money, shoes, and clothes? Every dollar sent will be used to send food. Prayerfully consider what God would have you do. If everyone does something, many will be helped." And there's a phone number here and an email address for the pastor there. I don't think it's practical that for us to send items in the mail to London, Ontario. I think the most practical thing to do would be for if the Lord has enabled us and individually and perhaps as a church to send a love offering for that need, that they can then purchase supplies in London, so that, I mean, instead of spending a lot of postage to send stuff. So be in prayer about what you could give. I know it'd be easy for us just to say, well, let's, you know, give an X amount from the general fund, and I think we should. But it's also good individually for us to examine what we can do by faith. Yes? It might be. I don't know what sort of a shipping arrangement. They might have some sort of a Christian outfit that's willing to do it for free. I don't know what they're shipping. But yeah, certainly, I can get that. I understand. Mm-hmm.
Ship across the state, and like shipping in the States is like, you because of all the online shipping, it's too cheap compared to Canada across the U.S.
Yeah. I don't know what sort of arrangement they have worked out, but it's something we can certainly ask about. But be in prayer for what each one of us could give individually for that need. I mean, we have perfect example of the Apostle Paul going throughout Asia Minor saying, hey, the churches in Judea, in Jerusalem, they need your help. And he collected them. He collected gifts that he then gave to the church in Jerusalem. So be in prayer about what you could give, and then we'll also look at what the church could give. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21, please. Proverbs chapter 21. Let's read verses 13 through 18. 13 through 18. We've covered verse 13 already, but it's pertinent to this situation in Venezuela. So if we'll stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we look at this passage of Scripture, and Lord, we think of verse 13 about stopping our ears at the cry of the poor. And Lord, we're presented with a situation now where we have brothers and sisters in Christ in need. And Lord, we do know that you have promised that you will provide their needs. But Lord, you use the brethren oftentimes to do that. And Lord, we pray that you would be with each one of us as we think through what we could give by faith. And Lord, we pray that we would do so and cheerfully, and as our church as a whole, that we would, Lord, be able to give an offering that would be of great assistance to this need. Lord, be with us as we dig into your word, as we look through some of these other verses here, that you would open up our eyes, and Lord, help us to be encouraged and convicted out of your word. We ask for healing for any that are sick, and for those that would be here but are obstructed because of the snow and roads. We pray that you give them a good day as they meditate on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So picking it up in verse 15, it is a joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Joy. It is joy. It is something, and of course, we just, actually, before we touch on joy, just and judgment. When we look at that word just, that is speaking about the person who lives a life full of honesty, integrity. They walk justly. And it is connected to that word judgment. So they are free of bias. They do what is right. You know, we just sang that song, "Do Right Till the Stars Fall." They do right. The just person seeks justice for all. Is not biased. Will not accept bribes. They look out for those in need and those who are being oppressed. So it is a joy to the just to do judgment. They are happy to do it. It gives them pleasure to help those in need. But the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. There's the opposite. So let's take a look at some verses on the first portion. Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29. Why is it a joy? Now, the world, there are many people in the world that are philanthropic, where they give a lot of money to charity and to good causes. You know, maybe they sponsor an orphan in a country and send money for that child. You know, maybe they have local charities that they help out, a homeless shelter, a food bank, and it brings them joy. And now oftentimes the reason why it would bring joy to an unsaved person is it gives them a feeling of self-worth. And that is something that every one of us looks for. But as a believer, it's a little different, because we have worth. We are one of the beloved. We are one of God's. So instead, what we are looking for is to be productive in the kingdom of God, where we say, okay, Lord, I want my life to make a difference here on earth for your kingdom, not for my kingdom, but for your kingdom. And so it is part of our inherent nature to want to improve, to have value. And that's why oftentimes when you've got people that are in a job where they feel like they're not contributing, they've got no value, it brings them, they might become depressed and they look down upon themselves. For the believer, we look at it different. We go, okay, Lord, if this is what you've called me to do, then I'm going to do this job, I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to do a good job, even though maybe I don't sense I'm not going to change the world through, you know, picking up someone's garbage, or what, you know, whatever the job might be. I use that illustration, but there are many young boys that aspire to be a garbage man. Drive those big trucks. So, it is a joy. For the believer, it's about serving the Lord, getting much accomplished, and doing that which is right. So Job chapter 29, verses 12 through 17. We'll start at verse 11. When the ear heard me, and it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. This is Job speaking. Verse 13. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came unto me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put it on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. He says, if I sensed there was a cause there, if I knew there was something that needed to be searched out, I searched it out. I didn't just gloss over it. And I break the jaws of the wicked, and I plucked the spoil out of his teeth. So it brought Job joy to help the fatherless, to help the widow, to help those that were unjustly under unjust judgment, it brought him joy. And when we do it, it will bring us joy as well, because we know that we're pleasing the Father. That's really where it matters. It's pleasing the Father. And we'll see that later as we look at another verse there, which Jesus Christ, he had that mindset. Psalms 40, verse 8, I'll just read it for you. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within mine heart, within my heart. So I delight to do thy law. It should bring us joy to do the law of God, whatever that law is. Even if it's something that causes us, you know, maybe it causes us to have to work a little harder, or, you know, it somehow puts us out in some way. It should be a joy to do it. We know that when things put us out and we're doing it for the right reasons for the Lord blesses us. Psalms 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That delighteth greatly in his commandments. And of course, if you go through Psalms chapter 119, that very long, the longest chapter of the Bible, you'll see over and over that David says, I delight in your law. I delight in your statutes, your commandments. You know, it's not as easy to delight in the commandments of men, is it? You know, there's different rules and regulations that you have to follow, and those rules are always changing. I know when we were doing a renovation at our house, we had to find out what is the standard, the code, what was necessary for the different breakers, and there was times that our electrician would say, this is overkill. But, you know, that's what the code is. And okay, let's do it. You know, and it's like, you know, you kind of go, oh, brother. You know, but of course, you know that on most hands, you're hoping that they are doing it because they believe that is scientifically proven to be the best and most safe practice. But you don't delight in those types of laws. But we are to delight in God's laws. Every command that God has a blessing. Every command comes with a blessing. People that look at God's commandments through a dark lens don't see the joy that's behind it. You know? It might be, for instance, you know, where the scripture speaks against fornication. Speaks about that a man is not to touch a woman. 1 Corinthians 7:1. And that, you know, that, but that the marriage is holy and undefiled. And a person doesn't see through the commandment, and they think, oh, God is so obstructive. He wants to keep me from being happy. And until they get to know who God is and why he does what he does, they can see through that commandment and say, it's for my good. This will make me so much more joyful after the fact, when I follow his commandment. You know, it's the same with something like lying. Well, why can't I lie in this type of a situation? You know, in some countries, in some different religions, it is quite acceptable to lie, and it's actually you're looked upon if you can fool that person. Whereas the Christian realizes that not only is it inherently wrong to deceive someone, either implicitly or somehow, you know, by not speaking when we should, you know, like someone says to you, oh, you did such a great job at that, and in fact, you didn't do it, someone else did it, but you take the praise or glory, but, you know, either way, where you either speak a lie or you countenance a lie, either way. The believer comes to realize that not only does it not please God, but the believer starts to see what happens when a person lies, how they hurt people, how they break trust, how they lose trust. A person looks at truth, and the Christian realizes that, you know, that we are supposed to speak truth, every man with our neighbor. We are supposed to do everything, things honest in the sight of all men. And the Christian sees, well, boy, you know, when I am truthful, I generate a trust. People start to trust me. They start to see that no matter what, I will always speak the truth. I develop a trust. I develop a respect. And my friendships can be deep because people know they can trust me. We see through, and so it becomes a joy to do God's commandments. A person is so short-sighted if they look at a commandment and go, ugh, why is God's law full of commandments? Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Every commandment has a blessing behind it. So it is a joy to do his will. And as we read there in Psalms 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Well, that doesn't come by osmosis. We've got to be in God's law in order for it to be in our heart. Let's take a look at Psalms 119. I mentioned this chapter already, but Psalms 119, verse 92. Again, if you go through this, you're going to see over and over and over about knowing God's law, keeping God's law, delighting in God's law. So Psalms 119, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. You know, Christians can go through some very hard times. I know of a Christian brother in Christ who lost his daughter in her early 30s to cancer. And she was married, she had two children, and she was a devout Christian herself. But he and his wife had such a strong relationship with her and her family. And he told me, you know, if I didn't have the Lord, and if I didn't have the relationship that I have with the Lord, that would have put me over the edge, losing her. And so when we're in the good times, when life is good and we are not experiencing pain like that, we need to be developing our relationship with God to steady us for when the waves of adversity do come. So David says here, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. So we need to delight in his law. We need to love his law. We need to love to do justice and judgment. Thinking back to our text, let's take a look at Jesus in John chapter 4. You remember the account here? They stop at a well in Samaria. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why did he must needs go through Samaria? Because he had a lady to go talk to at a well. As you probably know, the Jews and the Samaritans, they had bitter adversity against each other because the Samaritans were a mixed breed of people, partly Jewish, but also partly of the nations that the Assyrians brought into the land. And they had a mixed religion. And so the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans with disdain. And so more often than not, people would bypass that whole area of Samaria, even though it added a lot of extra time to their travels, instead of going through it. But Jesus must needs go through it. He chose to go through it because he had to minister to her. So remember the story. He goes there. He's sitting by the well. His disciples leave to go get some food. And I can imagine that was ordained of God. And perhaps Christ just said, you know, why don't you leave me here, go get some food. He wanted to have some time to witness to that lady. And so he speaks to her, he witnesses to her. And then, as we get into the passage here, in verse 31, in the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So they come back now with food. She's already left at that point. You know, she's left her water pot. She's going to go into the city and call the men of the city and bring them back. Verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Hey, Peter, did you bring him some meat? Or did somebody else bring him some meat? He saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I find it amazing the way that the Lord worked here. He's got a space of time now where he could have eaten. This lady has left. She left her water pot. She went into the city. His disciples come back with food. He could have said, oh boy, I'm so glad you guys came at the perfect time. I am so ready for some of that food. But he was so disciplined. He chose not to eat. He knew what was coming next. He knew that she was going to go into that city and she was going to bring out these men and that he needed to have his body in subjection, that he knew that he would likely become sleepy or you know, lose his focus after having had a meal, and he chose to not eat and to wait till these people came back and so that he could preach to them. But notice there, it was his joy to do the will of the Father, in so much that he even gave up his food. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Let's take a look in Romans chapter 7. This is the passage where the Apostle Paul talks about this battle within his members, the flesh fighting against the spirit. And I imagine Jesus even had that battle going on even there at that moment in John 4 with the woman at the well, where his body was probably saying, eat, you need food. And he was saying, no, I am going to stay focused. So in this passage in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul is going back and forth about what his body wants to do, what his spirit wants to do. And we just jump into verse 22, and he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inner man. In this passage, he's contrasting and comparing the inner man versus the outer man, the inner man of the heart, the spiritual aspect of him, versus what the body wanted to do. And we're not going to read this whole passage, but just suffice it to say that he delighted in the law of God. He delighted to do his will. So going back to our text, we see that the opposite is true about those that like wickedness, workers of iniquity. Proverbs 21. Verse 15, so it is a joy to the just to do judgment. And you know what? If we are finding that we don't enjoy doing that which is right, there's something wrong with us spiritually, something that needs to be fixed. And that's where we go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm not sure why, or maybe we do, but in some cases we don't know why. We say, Lord, I don't know why, but I'm having a struggle with this. Would you show me? Would you, with the Holy Spirit, would you illuminate what sin in my life is making me do this? And we got to remember that if we are having a problem like that, it is sin. Don't blame it on someone else. Let's not be an Adam and blame Eve. Let's not be an Eve and blame Satan. Let's take responsibility. So, let it's joy to do justice and judgment. Notice verse 15, the tail end. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. So this is some verses Solomon compares something. Sometimes he contrasts the opposite, the polar opposite. And this is the opposite. Those that do not delight in doing justice and judgment. Those that rather enjoy iniquity. Well, what will come to them? Destruction will come to them. Proverbs 10, verse 29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Not only is the way of the Lord a joy, but it is strength. You and I need strength to do that which is right, do we not? We say to ourselves, well, I can't do this. No, maybe we can't. Not in our own strength. But in God's strength. You have to remember that his strength is inestimable. You can't quantify how much strength God has to give you and I. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Okay, well, we'll end with that verse there, and we'll pick it up, Lord willing, next week at verse 16. And again, just ask you to be mindful and prayerful about what the Lord would have you do for helping out these Christians in Venezuela. And just, you know, when the Lord's showed you what you could do, just to put it down in an envelope, and just, you could, in the note there, just put, you know, Venezuela Fund or something to that effect, and that'll get separated out for that purpose. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help each one of us to joy in your commandments, joy to do them. Lord, that they would not be a drudgery to us. Lord, that we would not agonize to do that which is right, doing it only because we know that it pleases you. But Lord, that we would delight to do justice, judgment, delight to look out for those that are oppressed, like the fatherless and the widows and their affliction. And even in this case that we brought up, this situation in Venezuela, the Christians there, Lord, that we would delight to do that according as you allow us and as you provide and direct. And even just in general, having joy doing your will. Lord, we pray that we would be in your words so that we know your word well, inside out. And then, Lord, help us to be like Christ, who came to do the will of the Father, that our meat would be to do the will of the Father. Lord, we ask that you be with our morning worship service, that you speak to our hearts, keep any safe that are still driving, and for those that cannot come, we pray that you would give them a blessing. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.